you think the game is changing? Because, you know, I mean, I haven't even been playing for 18 months, and, you know, serve deep, return deep, you get to the no volley zone, you know, get into dinking rallies and stuff like that. And people are saying it's getting a bit more power being more banging in it, but I think the pros are probably a bit more precise about when they're banging and they're playing all the shots, maybe at harder and better and faster speeds. But
yeah, I don't know how much you keep up with the paddle technology.
Well,
and that all that kind of
had Lloyd on. Kind of stuff. So Lloyd did give me a lesson in paddle. He? So if you did do he? Watch Lloyd, which is out. Because when this goes out, it'll already been out. But the technology's moved on. And I was talking to Harvey today. He said that in the last 12 months, you know, I mean, these paddles are probably, like I said to Harvey, I said, this is this paddle. He goes, no, it's one of our best sellers, the Diadem Edge or whatever. But he goes, but it's probably an old, it's like, I don't know, it's like a wooden tennis racket.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's been quite a lot of talk going on, and this is all America based.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously what where the front of the sport is. Been a lot of chat regarding the paddle testing,
yeah,
and how they go about that and how rigorous the testing process is. Also about the new, so they categorize paddles into kind of generations,
right?
So the carbon paddles, which you can see both of these are, were the kind of
old school.
Well, they were the new technology a few years ago.
Yeah.
Gen 1 raw carbon face rather than the plastic polymer.
Yeah.
And we're now in Gen 3. So Gen 3 paddles have just been released.
Right.
And they are powerful, to say the least. So the game is moving towards power being really all important.
Think that might make sport lose a bit of its finesse?
There's a lot of chat about how it's going to affect, you know, especially rec and social play, because
you're turning it into mini tennis.
You're turning it into mini, and if someone can hit the ball hard, yeah. I mean, especially if you use one of these new paddles coming up, I mean, absolute rocket launchers.
Like, really?
Yeah.
And you don't have to give added power to it either, because of I suppose the ball just bounces off it very quickly.
Yeah, so
and if you do give it a little bit more,
yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, you know, like anything, you need control to be able to use them properly, and that's why when you look at the pro level, it does affect it, for sure, but the margins are so much smaller that, you know, you can always, the level always, I think, still shows through in the end. So.
Do you think, I mean, is this being monitored then by the sort of hierarchy as to, you know, we don't want this to take over the sport and ruin, sort of, you know, you can go through like, start losing dinking. Because
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I hope so, because a huge part of the sport, I think, If you look at, and we've experienced this quite a few times, where we've got a few of my friends, James's friends, Louis's friends, whoever, coming from a heavy racket sport background of some description, say tennis, for example.
Yeah.
And all of them are great at hitting the ball hard from the back of the court. As soon as you get to the kitchen line, struggle. Like, they all struggle.
Yeah.
Really, really struggle. And it's great because they struggle and they're like,
it levels it out a bit then once you get into a dinking.
Yeah, but you know, they struggle and then they kind of see that, like, oh, okay, I kind of get it now.
You know,
this is actually hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you kind of lose some of the importance of that soft game, then you're just bringing the sport closer to, I would argue, tennis. And it makes it less of a jump for a tennis player to make it in the sport than it is now.
But do you think there's a lot of doubles and mixed doubles played? Mm-hmm. But on the single side, because I asked Lou, I said, Louis, do you give one piece of advice if you're playing singles, what's the best way to play tactically? Try be aggressive and win the point as quickly as possible. He said, you know, you don't see much dinking going on in the singles game. It is like playing mini tennis, I would assume. Serve quick, get them moving angles, get them deep, and, mm-hmm. you know, get control at the front and then that's it, put it away.
Yeah.
And the points don't last that long.
No. A tennis player can make it in professional singles pickleball without too much struggle, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
Obviously, you need to practice and play, but it is quite an advantage to be able to have that background going into the singles game. Especially if you're looking at, you know, kind of indoors, no elements.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. Outdoors in like hot conditions with a bit of wind, slightly different ball game. We found that in Naples. It took all of them a while to adjust to it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the ball gets soft. It's not as hard anymore. Can't just fizz wind
past
people.
Or the plastic just
softens it up. So, yeah, it depends on the conditions, but for the most part, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah.
You think there'll ever be a law change? You know, to sort of try and, I don't know, move it away from a certain area. Like, you know, in golf, they're sort of talking about, you know,
rollback and stuff like that.
Yeah, and things, you know, the courses get longer because people driving further, technology gets better, changing the balls or doing something.
I think that...
So you don't lose the nuance of the sport.
I think there will have to be a point with the paddle technology really is where it's going to be. The ball makes a bit of a difference, but when you start to use one of the outdoor balls that they use in competition, the difference between them is a little bit, not enough to really think about changing the rules of the sport. Difference in paddles and where that's going, especially, I think there is going to be a point where they're going to have to be like, all right, hang on a second here.
Because there's also, I think, I'm a bit of health and safety issues, a little bit, isn't it? Because, you know, hand-eye coordination, and certainly if you let some enthusiastic players loose, sort of wreck plays in some of the tournaments, and they start smashing the ball around. I know a lot of people don't wear safety glasses, but the injuries.
I think Annalie Waters, the number one female player in the world, put on social media, I think it was a month or two ago, you know, if you're not wearing glasses, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I haven't quite got my head around that yet. But I think definitely in the, playing red.
Certainly, I think with doubles, I mean, people saying it's not so much your opponents, it's you, the ball coming off your opponent or their paddle or you hitting yourself and, you know, anything to try and stop it. So, but yeah, I think, well, there you are. A nice sponsor, maybe get Ray-Bans or someone to sponsor you.
Ray-Ban make pickleball goggles?
Hey, why not? Do they?
Probably not.
There must be somebody in America, one of the leagues, isn't it? They must have sponsorship with Oakley or someone like that.
Probably, yeah. They've got sponsors with
everybody. If there's any sponsors out there wanting to try out, Freddie will try them out for you. The thing is, you don't need them in... Well, the sunglasses, it'd be fine outdoors, isn't it? But not here.
Yeah, if you've got sunglass pickleball goggles, you know, like polarized pickleball goggles. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that could be it.
It's cool as well.
Well, yeah.
Are you a colours man? Because Louis likes a bit of a colour, doesn't he?
No, definitely not. We have consistent arguments as to what we're going to wear on doubles day.
Not pink.
I agree that we have to match.
Right.
But his idea of what a great outfit is and my idea of what a great outfit is could not be further apart. So we've now decided that we're going to take it in turns choosing outfits for a tournament.
Do you have to wear the same colour partners in doubles? Is that a rule?
Someone told me that it was now kind of a rule in America, yeah. I know that you're not allowed to wear yellow or anything the same colour as the ball.
Well, yeah.
But I think you have to try and match-ish. I don't really know why, but...
So going back to America then, you were saying there's two leagues. So there's the professional pickleball... Association or PPA, and then there's the APB.
Professionals,
and they are two separately professional leagues run separately. So is that a little bit like, you know, the PGA and LIV? Is it something like that?
Or in
darts, you used to have two darts people.
Yeah,
you used to have the PDC and the other one, you know.
Yes, is the answer to that. The amount of resources and the focus of each league is a bit different, I would say.
Right.
The PPA is very focused on having the absolute top, top players all on their tour.
Right.
The APP have got a lot of very good pros playing on that tour.
Yeah.
But they're less exclusive. So if you play on the PPA tour, you cannot play any other tournaments. So if you were signed to the PPA, you can come play the English Open, for example.
You can't?
No. Whereas a lot of the AP, so some of the APP players.
So they wouldn't be able to go and
came
play
over
in India.
And played, pardon? No. I mean, no.
So no other world tour?
No. No. They're exclusive deal to play for the PPA. Whereas the APP players, so for example, Megan Fudge, Ryla DeHart, came and played the English Open last year, the Next Gen team.
Yeah.
They can all come and do that because they're on the APP tour.
So doesn't that suggest at some point that there's going to be some fantastic players developing in other countries throughout the world, that the best of the best, if you're only playing one league at some point, I mean, who, I don't know all the top players, but Tyson, is he the number one?
No, Ben Johns.
Ben Johns. And he plays for?
PPA.
And Tyson plays for PPA?
Yep.
So, you know, they're never going to...
No, and that only goes for the top players.
Right.
So only the top players of the PPA have got that deal.
Right.
So I could play a PPA tournament whenever, next week.
Okay.
And I'd be in qualies and I could qualify and play and I could go and play something else. But I'm not contracted to them. The top players have signed contracts.
Contracts
with the PPA,
solely to be with the PPA too. So they are the face of the, the sport.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing? Obviously, maybe for them.
I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about it. But yeah, it's there are definitely things in the works coming worldwide, globally, on the pickleball front from a league perspective, from team perspective. So
like a world league.
There have been a few chats about something like that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sit and wait for it to actually happen. But it'd
be great though. It'd be exciting.
It's exciting to be at the, and this is, you know, what I've said multiple times, it's exciting to be at the front of something.
Yeah.
This country, in Europe. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
What do you need over here then? Do we need sort of some big benefactors?
Yeah.
Basically money.
Yeah.
So that you guys could concentrate on what you're doing. And if we're going to compete against the world.
That and also... just the
facilities
and the funding to get those facilities in the first place. I mean, if you look at, so, you know, arguably myself, Louis and James are the three top players in the country.
Which order would you put them, Freddie?
Varying orders.
I only know the three of you. I've never met James. I've met Louis and I met yourself now.
Yeah.
Just from what I've picked up, I would put James as number one.
Mm-hmm.
Then two and three would be between you and Louis, obviously.
So James is the best singles player.
Yeah.
And I'd put myself and Louis on
doubles.
Yeah. Controversial statement.
Well, no, look.
But there we go.
Well, your singles rating is higher than your doubles rating.
Yeah.
Currently, you're 5.5.
Yeah, that's what happens when you play every tournament with Louis, who's got a 5.9 duper. So, but no, it's fine.
So the more times you play James in singles is good though, isn't it? Because if you get, if you beat him, your rate is going to go up.
Beat him last time.
You did, you? So you're currently, you're injured. So for him to get six, is that on the back of the US Open then? Because of the
players? Back of Miami and US Open.
Yep. So the players he was playing. So would they all be six pluses then in the Open there? People that he's playing, their ratings.
He beat a guy who was like 6'6".
Right.
So, yeah.
So just for context for people though, so someone like Tyson and Ben Johns, what would their rating be?
So Ben Johns has, I think, the highest rating in world pickleball of both singles and doubles. So I think he's a 7.1 or something like that. Anyone who is, I think now, anyone who's a 5.5 and above, you'd probably class as a pro. I think anyone who's a 6.0 and above, you'd classify as a professional.
In America?
In America. Like, in actual fact, James is probably a 6.4-ish singles player. If he was playing consistently in America, I think that's where his rating would be.
See, that's the problem for him, though, isn't it? Because he's a six, but he could quite easily, that could easily quite drop, isn't it? Because if he's going
to
play...
Well, if he loses to anybody in Europe, he's going to go down.
Yeah, which is mad.
But that's always been our problem, that we can't really go up.
But you don't have to have a certain... Do the rating matters when you're trying to qualify for tournaments? I mean, does that mean you have to go into prequels and qualifiers because your rating's not high enough?
So, no, I think the way they did that was on actual points, which obviously we don't have any because we don't play in America. So right. That was kind of the same anyway.
Oh, but, so you get points for winning stuff.
And yeah. So, for example, now, well, not myself because I didn't play because I got injured, but for singles at least, I will have at least some points for getting to the second round of qualies.
Right.
Of the Miami tournament. That might now put me as a seed in qualies or pre-qualies. I'm not sure. For a slightly smaller tournament.
So there's a qualifier, that, and then the main...
For that one. That tournament, the Miami one, was a major. It was a big tournament.
Right.
So, yeah.
A lot of pickleball then, just to get round to this sort of main round.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But that was good.
The journey, yeah. So develop more players, mm-hmm. get more competitions against better people, makes you a better player.
Yeah, and this is another thing that I would say as well. So I know Louis and James's game off by heart, inside out. Yeah. I know what they do well, I know what they do badly. Well, they don't do anything badly, but I know either of them are good at.
You know
at
all
them,
their like, shots, can you play I know them all their enough, shots.
You? Now,
you know their strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, so... Even though we get to play against each other, which is a good level,
like yeah.
high level, comparable to the States, great. We only ever play against each other.
Mm.
You don't play against anybody else at the same level, but with different skill sets.
Yeah.
So now you go to America and you're playing against a lot of different people, all at that level.
Yeah.
But they're doing things that you've never seen before, purely because you've only just used to Louis hitting a backhand counter at you the whole time.
Yeah.
And James ripping forehands from the back of the court. Like,
yeah.
People do things differently. So,
yeah.
And if you've got no experience of that, you only really, like in practice, I'd only really practice speeding it up to Louis' forehand or, you know, because.
Yeah.
Whereas, you can other, only people, concentrate whereas on your, other people, that's their strength. And
you,
now
can only, you can only work on your core skills, and yet you only learn when you play better people, don't you?
Yeah.
In any sport, you get better.
So
at
when we go to these
and
tournaments.
And get coached at as well.
When we go to these tournaments, it's almost like a training week
yeah.
for us. Because we get to play against all these people, which we never get to usually play against.
And who's coaching you guys?
No.
That would help as well. So investing in coaches come in,
yeah,
high-level coaches come in and
yeah, but
helping.
I mean, we don't have that really. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Whenever the each of us are playing, the others coach. So... Whenever
well, it's always easy sitting on the side.
No,
and go,
no,
you
no,
do that
no
wrong.
It actually is though. I mean, no, it is easier to watch on the side, but if you ask who our coaches are, we don't have coaches, but if we're all going to a tournament together, we'll all be each other's coaches. But if we're not playing, which is quite funny.
Well, I watched the finals at Lee Valley on the stream.
Yeah.
And I was being critical because Thaddeus come and done about three coaching sessions down our place, and Louie's coming down to do it. And she's been brilliant. And I was being really critical of watching in the Dream Breakers. And I was going, so each one of you got a different strategy here. And I was thinking, well, so some are attacking and going up and, you know, following up. And then there's others just playing long baseline sort of pickleball. Yeah. And I was going, that doesn't seem right. Cause it looks like, I don't know. They didn't seem that. And I was being really critical. When I see Thaddeus, I'm going to have a word. You know, saying, why didn't they do this? But you know, she said, look, it's all about development, which is great. But that's the thing, isn't it? We can all be critiques. If we sit here, watch football. I mean, look, come on, you're a Chelsea fan. Apparently, aren't you?
I am a Chelsea fan, yeah.
Tell me, how did that come about?
Dad didn't give me a choice.
Hang on, so you were born in America.
Yeah, right? There
you go. And dad obviously...
My dad's dad grew up in...
In London.
In London, yeah.
And so it was Chelsea Blue
yep.
all the way through.
Yep.
So was it the Shed or the firm?
Shed End.
So mm-hmm. a lot of troubles in the past there, weren't there? So you didn't have a choice growing up.
No,
so when you were born here.
I was very happy.
It was a Chelsea baby growing.
We were season ticket holders until so we used to live in Petersfield,
right
in near
Harvey
Winchester.
Country. This is where Diadem live
near it? Winchester. Yeah. So we used to have season tickets for Chelsea when we lived there.
Okay.
I was a mascot. Nice. When I was seven.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Well, I was up. Fan. I did go up there and watch them play against Dortmund.
You?
I did. Yeah, in the Euros, in the Champions League, the day that you guys won early on in the season. I think who was managing then? Was it? It was last season, I think. Was it all this season? Did you play Dortmund this year? Or was it last year? Must have been last year. At Chelsea in the Champions League. Year. And you won 2-1, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was last year.
No, it was, yeah, because Jude Bellingham was playing for Dortmund.
Yeah, definitely last year.
No, Mikey, my younger, one of the OG boys, he took me up there and got, which is, this is funny because they don't court fame at all, these guys. You know, they've got over 3 million followers across all the different genres. And we were standing in a burger van waiting for burger, and there was two Americans in front of us, a dad and a son, and had a sort of Dortmund and a Chelsea scarf on, and we just said hello, and he said, "Oh, are you over here to support Chelsea?" He said, "Nah, we're here because we love football, but we're Tottenham fans, but we're going to see the Tottenham at the weekend." And we were just standing there, and then my son went off to get some relish on his burger, and the kid went over with him, and he looked at him, and he said, "Has anyone said you look like one of the Ogie boys?" And Mikey just said, "Yeah, that's me and my brother." They were from LA, you know. And it was
You've
been spotted, and he's like complete stranger. It's like, you know. But I said to him, "Mike, if you think about it, whatever, there's 40,000 people, and you've got 3 million followers at Chelsea. You know, that's a lot of stadiums." And
when you think of it like that, it's actually crazy.
It's mad because you can't imagine what 3 million people is.
No.
Well, do you know the thing about a million and a billion, like with seconds and days? And it's like a million is 3 days and ridiculous. A billion is 35 years or something. Yeah. So if you're a millionaire, a billionaire. So that is madness. Yeah. So do you get a chance to go and see him or?
Yep. So
are you an avid fan?
I work in Ramsey Club.
Oh yeah, so you're just down the road. And there's Parsons Green.
Just down the road,
Station is the best one, I think, to get to.
On Broadway. Yeah. But my co-worker who works with me, he is a season ticket holder and I've been with him a couple of times. So
how would you... So this is why I had the name. So what a pickle Chelsea have been in. See? Did you see that leak? See, this is why...
I knew it was going to come up.
If the pickleball just goes...
You've been hinting at the jokes for the last...
If the pickleball goes, you know, then we can talk about other sports.
Yeah. But I don't know why you're smiling being a Tottenham fan, though.
I'm not a Tottenham fan. I'm a Liverpool fan.
Oh, you're a Liverpool fan?
Oh, yeah, I know. So well... I'm not a Tottenham fan. Come on. I mean, look, we weren't expected to even get where we got this season.
Then
the brand new midfield.
But then you got there.
Well, we got there. We got to third.
And
we're not there anymore. And Klopp's going, which was a very sad moment.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to a lot of talk sports stuff. And I think personally, I think Poch has done a great job.
Absolutely. He's had mixed reviews throughout the season. I think he's cut a very frustrated figure.
Yeah.
The entire year. I don't think that coming as I'm a Chelsea fan.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be stupid to say that the Chelsea job is easy. I think the Chelsea job is probably one of the hardest managerial jobs in the Prem, the last few years anyway.
Or United might be different.
Yeah, well. I mean, again, just two jobs where you look at and you're like, poor.
Poison chalice.
Yeah, exactly. And I think considering he's done all right, he, as I said, he's been very frustrated throughout the year, I think, with the performances from the players.
Yeah.
But the last couple of weeks... You can see that he's been a lot happier in his
got two games
press
left.
Conferences. Yeah.
You win those, you get to Europe.
I know. That's not something that we were envisioning.
No, and then that's got to be progress when you think at the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, fans are quite fickle, aren't they?
And fickle.
You know, I mean, I know I'm a Liverpool fan, but at the beginning of the season, everyone's going, well, you've got a brand new midfield. You know, if you do well to get in the top five, and then to be 2 weeks ago in contention of winning it, and then just losing two games on the bounce or whatever, and then it just throws it out the window. But to be amongst it, and now I've got Champions League football, which has got to be progress from last year, because you didn't. You were Europa League, and then, you know, win a cup. And, you know, so people don't see that. You know, if you are inside a sport, isn't it? What is progress? I mean, if you know, take it back to the PPL. I mean, last year you won one division, six teams. Season two, three divisions, you know, with... Masters and that, and will there be six teams in each?
Yeah.
So that's progress, isn't it? And
oh my gosh.
Are there new faces in the Premier League?
A lot of new faces. We've had the draft open for a while.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at my spreadsheet.
So is that going to upset some of the players that played last year? Or were they told, look, you know,
no one's been told anything. I mean,
no one's guaranteed a spot.
Everyone knows that you get in on merit.
Right.
You get in on being picked.
Right.
If you, you know, if you don't necessarily show the performances that would get you into a team next year, that's the way it goes. I mean, we're trying to create a professionally minded league.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if you're in a premier team, you take this seriously.
Yeah.
And
is there going to be prize money?
Yep. Yep. The prize money is something that we've not taken the same route on as, say, the America has and whacked a load in to begin with to try and raise it the profile of the sport. We're really trying to use any money that we you know make through sponsorships, through sign-ups and that, and put it back into the actual product and the production of the event.
Yeah.
And whether that is the court, the live streaming service, the
yeah,
you know, the host on Tennis Channel, which I think was a great addition to the event of the finale.
Yeah.
Because we want to create a professional product.
Yeah.
And
we'll all attract people.
And the thing is, like, we don't need a big pot of prize money, because the attractiveness of the league for everyone in this country as an opportunity to play against the best people consistently throughout the year, be a part of a team and, you know, have a chance of winning something is draw enough.
Yeah, you've got to look at the big picture though, haven't you, eventually? Because
currently.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably not even in your prime yet. You know, 25, you've still got many, many years to go.
Yeah.
You know, Thadia's a bit older and, you know, she's still a top player, and for her, but you know,
I'm the young'un.
You're a young'un.
Yeah.
And but like it's like anything, it's any team, you've got to have a people coming up the rank, because otherwise there could be a void, isn't there?
And that's part of the reason we've got the Challenger League.
I mean, you get injured, you know, you there's not many of you at that level.
Yeah.
What take one of you out? It's not like 0.1%, isn't it? It's like you've taken 10% of your talent out and you're out for some time. Mm-hmm. And you're a personality, you know, you've got character.
Thank you.
I had to say that because I'm here. But it is. And it's important in any sport to have personality. People that are personable.
Yeah.
People fun to watch, you know.
And that's something that I tried. I've always.
It's really important.
I've always tried to create that.
Yeah.
Whether it's playing at Nationals, English Open, like, I always try to have the most fun out of everybody on the court.
But how do we get the youngsters involved? When I talk about youngsters, I mean, I'm talking, young grassroots,
yeah.
Like in any sport.
Yeah. I think that
even
comes,
football still hasn't
got
it right.
That comes back to the facilities point again.
But all schools have sports halls. Most schools have sports
and
halls.
And around the Roehampton area, you know, we've seen, I mean, I know a few people who are members at the club work in schools, and they have started doing pickleball sessions. It's... Now, this is something that kind of links back to the LTA / Pickleball England debate, which is Louis and I run the kids' camps at Roehampton and do, you know, some pickleball classes and stuff. And it's a lot easier for kids to hit the pickleball than it is for them to hit a tennis ball.
Yeah.
Fairly similar to like a sponge ball or something like that. Yeah. But this is where the LTA might be seeing it as a pathway to tennis.
Yeah. Get there, that way, get there, go that way, get there, go that
rather
way.
Yeah. Than its own sport. I don't have any problem with people, you know, playing pickleball and then moving to tennis or vice versa, but I think it needs to still be recognised.
But
on its own.
Do you not think that the tennis, I don't think, is that accessible in this country?
No.
So it becomes what I think is an elitist sport. So, you know, a privileged sport in some ways that, I mean, it's sort of like rugby has been like that because of it was only ever played at public schools and not in state schools. And then if you have that, you know, to get into tennis, if you're good, someone might see you and then you'll go through that pathway. But if you're just playing tennis for fun at an early age, it's hard. Whereas pickleball, how I see it, and it's only my own personal view, is all schools have got sports halls. It's a great way to get kids to do something.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant for your mental health.
Yeah.
It's great for your hand-eye coordination. I mean, I was watched a video. The guy said, I think one of the videos, I think American guy was talking about, even when you're warming up, he said, when you're standing around, he said, just hit the ball on the ground for a little few minutes, just to feel the center of the pedal. And then he said, you know, then he said, bounce it and then bounce it on the edge. He said, because you're just getting your brain engaged.
Fish,
with
chips, ketchup.
Hey?
Fish, chips, ketchup.
Is that, what's that?
Fish, chips, ketchup.
Okay. Is that what you call it?
Classic mini tennis.
Okay.
Yeah, little game.
To get the brain engaged and get that cognitive thought function going.
Yep. I think pickleball, I mean, in schools, you're not trying to teach people to become professional athletes. You just want them to be able to do something that they can enjoy quickly.
Yeah.
Because the goal is to have them enjoy sport
and
do sport. And pickleball is perfect because it's the most accessible. It's the easiest to just get to a level where you can play it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you try to teach a, you know, a school kid to play tennis from nothing, the odds of them enjoying it are like zero because it's so hard.
Yeah.
To begin with, unless you've got, you know, some racket.
I know rackets are slightly smaller, but it's still a hard thing to hold as an extension of your arm.
100%.
This thing is just an extension 100%. Of your hand.
So
it,
in schools, I think it's got potential to be, honestly. But
so how do we? Yeah, this is the I mean, how do we get the, that message
the
across?
Knowledge of the sport? You know, I personally, I've seen an uptake in just the general public knowing what it is. I don't know about you, but if I now talk to people, I would say the majority of people who I bring pickleball up to at least know what it is or have heard of it.
Yeah,
and I would say that is different to a year ago.
Yeah, because there was some talk about the name, wasn't it? Like, yeah, is that a crazy name? But I think it's great. You've got something unique. Pickleball is out there. Yeah. What would you change the name to if to make it more? It's great. And also, it's a conversation point, isn't it? So pickleball, you play that. And I've said that a lot of times to people, pickleball. And then actually it was in the shop. Actually, a guy printed these for us. And I was in there and he goes, oh, what's that? And I said, have you ever heard of pickleball? And he went, funny, I have actually, because they tried it at my son's school.
Ah.
I was like, well, hey, you know,
there you go.
That's right. We were doing things off our phone. So the boys have got one and I got one. So we got that. So it just looks a bit better on the camera. And then we just stick some notes on the back.
That looks great.
Just, we're trying to be professional, you see.
Looks great, honestly.
And I have to give a big shout out to Harvey and Diadem who do support the podcast. But no, I just love to see it in the schools more. And then like anything, isn't it? When you try something, eventually, you know, if you have a path when... You shouldn't be restricted in going down a different direction. I don't know. What other sports, or do you have, I mean, I suppose, do you have time for other sports?
I still play tennis. So I kind of got back into tennis when I started at Rampton Club as coach and I'm the club hitter. So
with that and that, no, you're not.
Well, this is now fine.
That's fine.
So yeah, because I mean, I didn't play for like a year and a half. So that kind of did it. And I don't play at the same
level.
Nowhere near the same intensity as I used to, which was the problem.
Yeah, right.
Obviously the foot is not very conducive to sport in general. But when I come back, I'll be back on the tennis court. I mean, I play more tennis than I do pickleball. So
is that because it's accessible?
Well, it's because it's my job. I play tennis all day.
Right.
I'm on the tennis court either coaching or hitting.
Right.
Mainly hitting, which is playing the sport. I mean, in the winter. Our core group, myself, Louis, James, Thaddea, Pei, Hermione, if you are smashing others, as I said.
Yeah.
We play on Thursday evening at Roehampton
for
2 hours.
And that's your...
That's it.
And that's your training?
That's the training. That's it. Louis and I run pickleball sessions on Thursday at Roehampton. It's not playing, just running the session. But during the summer, we're now starting to we're going to play at Imber Court or Chiswick or...
Yeah.
Where there are some actual outdoor courts, but the amount that we play is completely minimal compared to everybody else. Which
but really, where you're at in the world at the moment is brilliant, really, considering the lack of facility, training, and playing that you do.
Yeah, I mean,
people probably don't realize how well James did then, do they?
No, they don't.
That achievement was massive.
You know, Louis as well. I mean, so for example, last year, Louis came, I think it was seventh in the men's doubles. And a seventh in men's doubles.
Where, in the US?
The US Open.
Wow.
Which, so well, that's considering...
That's quarterfinals, isn't it?
Last
eight?
It's slightly different because you go through the back draw. So if you lose early, you go through the back draw, and they won a few matches in the back draw.
Right.
But, and that's what James did.
Right.
So James lost first round and then won four matches in the back draw or something like that.
Right. But
what we've seen, and like last year, so last year was the first tournament I played where there were some really good people. That was the English Open last year. I got to the quarterfinal and played a guy called Jack Foster.
Yeah.
Who just won the US Open singles this last week or a few weeks ago. And I lost in three. I won the first set and lost the next two sets, but it was really competitive and it was a great game.
Yeah.
Our singles level is absolutely there on par with America.
Okay.
James, myself, Louis, we can all beat pretty much anybody when we like,
on your day.
I feel like I can beat anybody on your my day. 100%.
Yeah.
And I actually, you know, genuinely believe that. And so does James, especially. Louis has his confidence issues with singles sometimes, but he does have some level in there. Doubles, different sport, different ball game. And as I said, that's where we struggle on the practice front because we can practice against singles against each other.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, you and Louis can play every day against each other, can you?
Well, we can't because we've got jobs.
But yeah.
But yeah. Yeah,
when you finish work, you know, play for an hour maybe or something, but...
Yeah, but we have to tape up the court.
Yeah.
We have to rent the court because we're not allowed, as staff, we're not allowed to use the court, the tennis committee. Yeah. We're not allowed to put pickleball court on. We can only do it one day a week. So you say that we can play, but we can't play every day. Otherwise, we'd be playing every day.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, in singles, we can practice. I can practice hitting backhand down the line winners because it doesn't matter if I'm playing James, Louis, or Ben Johns. If I hit a backhand winner down the line, flush on the line, that's going to beat anybody.
Yeah.
Whereas if we're playing doubles against each other and I hit a speed up to Louis' forehand, because he sits backhand, it'll work against Louis. I now play against Ben Johns. It's not going to work against Ben Johns.
No.
So it's a different skill set. And the fact that Louis managed to come seventh in men's doubles in the US Open was
phenomenal.
Really, really impressive. And that was before any of us had ever gone over there. So yeah. Now the level obviously increases each year. And watching James beat everyone in singles was very satisfying. And he was obviously,
Imagine if he didn't have a full-time job.
Imagine if any of us had a full-time
job. Yeah. World's your oyster, isn't it?
Mm.
So where would you like to be in 5 years?
Where would I like to be in 5 years?
Married, kids, you know, down the sandbanks, no? No.
No. No, I'm thinking, on the career side, I guess it would be playing professional pickleball and having business interests in it. I mean, we've already started PPL, but from a personal standpoint, probably doing something on my own as well.
Yeah.
I feel like there are so many opportunities in pickleball.
Agree.
That, you know, and obviously there's the option of me to go to America. I've got an American passport.
Yeah.
I could move there tomorrow.
Yeah.
And try and make it, but I go from being, you know, relatively
big fish in a
big
small
fish to being a very small fish.
Yeah.
So,
but you could be part of this journey.
Yeah.
So that's so, and then Britain's number one.
Obviously, ideally that would be the goal. I think it's very difficult, and this is actually a problem in pickleball in general, is the ranking / rating system.
What, Dupre? Or
well, for us, Dupre's an issue. Because
we can't
go up unless we go to America.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the simple fact.
You've reached a ceiling, haven't you?
We've reached a ceiling. Yeah. Unless I beat James six times, you know, in a year, I'm not really going to go up that much.
No.
Same with James, same with Louis. Unless we all beat each other consistently.
The problem is, though, if you beat James once, his rating will drop a little bit.
A tiny bit. I'll go and up a little bit. But that's only now that he's beaten people in America. And now, because before he went to America, he was the same level as us.
But at some point you would just plateau again, wouldn't you? So wouldn't go beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, James,
he'd lose his six rating, you wouldn't go beyond that.
James cannot go up.
No.
Is it actually impossible for him to go up in Europe because he's got the highest duper?
Oh, so anybody at Madrid?
No. If James loses any match, he'll go down.
Oh, gosh.
But I mean, as I said...
But that doesn't... I suppose it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't really. But like, as I said, that's the problem that we've got. So when you say Britain's number one, it's very difficult to categorically be the number one. And also, because singles and doubles are so different.
Yeah.
That's partly why pickleball's great. Singles and doubles are genuinely different sports. You know? The guy who won the US Open singles...
Yeah.
didn't make it out of first round in
on the doubles. Well, yeah, because there is, I suppose, there's a more cultured part of the game in doubles, isn't it? With a lot more dinking and stuff like that, which is
a completely different skill set.
Now, Rob made it quoted on here, Mr. Williams. Do you know Rob? You must know Rob.
I do know Rob. Yeah,
the voice of pickleball.
Yeah, yeah, he loves it.
Anyway, he does. And
to be honest, fair play to Rob. He's very good.
Great. And I have asked.
He's been doing a great job on commentary for the PPL as well.
I have asked him if I can have a go as well. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, nice. I'd love to have a go.
Yeah, great.
And I spoke to Ed about that as well. No, but Rob said pickleball's a bit like chess for him. He's thinking nine shots ahead.
Yeah. Now, it's a classic.
Louis laughed. That's a classic Rob line.
We've had a few discussions about that line.
Louis says, I don't think that far ahead, you know.
No, I don't think any rally I've ever been a part of has made it to nine shots.
But you might subconsciously be thinking of things, you know, going on without thinking, putting a number on it.
Without putting a number on it, definitely the way he's going with that comment is a big difference between your good level amateur and pro.
Yeah.
Is I say we're all at the kitchen line and you're dinking.
Yeah.
If I'm a really good amateur, I'll hit a speed up and try and win the point.
Yeah.
If I'm a really good pro, I'll hit a speed up to your right hip where you've got to come across, pop it up, I'll be ready and then smash it past you.
You
need to develop patterns of play that work for you and work with what you're good at and what they're not good at.
Yeah.
Now that is thinking 2-3 shots ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything, I would argue anything more than 2 or 3 shots ahead, you're clutching at straws a little bit.
Yeah.
But certainly
in singles, you don't get to 9 shots, do you?
Singles, I don't get to 4 shots. If you watch me and James play the Nationals singles final.
Yeah. Last year.
I think maybe we had 1 or 2 rallies that got past.
Did you win that last year?
No.
No. So you lost to James in the final.
Yeah.
So you're after him this year.
Yeah. I've lost in the final the singles last 2 years.
Have you?
But I've won the doubles the last 2 years. So.
Oh, well, I'm up there. This is my first entry into the Open this year. So I'm going
to. The Open. The English double. Open is. Have you been to?
No. Into festivals.
It will blow you away.
There's everyone that's within our club who's been up. They said it's grown since last year.
It will blow you away.
And he said it's just fantastic. It's just
genuinely.
It's not just the bigger ball.
It blew us away. I mean, to see that many courts.
Yeah.
And that many people just all in one place in Telford. But I mean, the actual venue itself was unbelievable. I mean, the show court had 200 people in a big stand.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what a place. So we were all shocked. I mean, that was the most real, legit thing that we'd ever done in pickleball. So
nice feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good crowd.
Would have been better if I'd won the quarterfinal, but.
You lost the quarterfinal?
Yeah, that was the singles. Louis and I, so I lost in 3 in the quarterfinal to Jack in the singles. And then Louis and I lost in the quarterfinal of the doubles in 3 to some Americans as well. So yeah, not ideal.
Well, you got to get fit. And get out there.
Yeah, get my foot sorted.
I think we're nearly up. I think we've been chatting for an hour and a quarter, which is what I love about this.
No, you're fine.
You're good. I was going to, there was a few things like here. I mean, have you played paddle? Have you tried it?
I've played it a couple of times. Yep.
Like it?
Really enjoy it.
It is good. I tried it down in Cornwall.
I really enjoy it. The only thing I don't like about it, and this is something that you kind of alluded to earlier, I like being able to just, you know, hit winners and be flair. I feel like there's not much flair going on in paddle because it's so hard to win the point. Like,
because the ball keeps coming back. It's off a wall again.
And I feel like you can always bail yourself out by just lobbing the whole time. So I do really enjoy it. And I loved it last time I played it. And I do want to play more. Yeah. But I'd prefer pickleball.
I think there's room for all these sports though, don't you? I just think, you know, if people just got together around the table and said, look, let's just work on this. It's for the bigger cause. But who am I to say? Funny moments. Had any?
Louis getting hit in the nuts when he was reffing the Nationals was a personal highlight, and I think a highlight for everybody involved. Dave Young's in the final of the 50 plus singles, couldn't make a drop shot. As he got to the drop shot, don't know why, decided to hit the ball as hard as he could, straight at Louis in the jewels. If you haven't seen the video, I implore you to go and look at it. It'll be on Louis' socials somewhere.
Will it?
I've got it. I can show it to you. Yeah,
you can send it to us, will you? I can share that with the club.
Absolute
be great.
Comedy.
Because it would be nice gold. To introduce Louis to the club because he's coming down to do some coaching in July.
Nice.
So I could share that with the club members and say, look, for those of you, this is Louis's best moment.
He's actually got a low light reel of him getting tagged multiple times. Because even though he loves to say he's got the fastest hands, and his hands are fast, he also does get hit a lot. In practice, in matches,
Is that because he's everywhere?
No, not really. No. I don't really know why, to be honest with you, but he always just does get hit.
But that's a low light reel.
Yes.
I was told here that Freddie loves a highlight reel.
Oh, yeah. Love a highlight reel.
Highlight reel shot.
Yeah. We all love a highlight reel. But yes, yeah, I do love a highlight reel. And that has been the same throughout my life. I mean, my mum said, I remember when I was playing tennis, and this, you can kind of see where my mentality was a bit of an issue here. But I'd play a tennis match and I'd lose, like, you know, 3-3, and I'd come off and my mum would be like, oh, you know, unlucky, what happened? And I was like, yeah, but did you see that backhand winner right here? And she'd be like, not really what you should be focusing on, but that's just mentality.
But isn't that the joy of sports, like golf? You can have a nightmare round, but you do what? Did you see that? Yeah. Did you see me chip in?
That's exactly what I say. Every time I play golf, every time I come off, I'm like, guys.
Don't worry about the score.
Don't worry about the 96.
Did you see my 30-foot putt and my chip in? Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why I play sport. So
exactly. That's my ATP. Did you see that? It doesn't matter about the rest. Mm-hmm. I lost 11-1. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah. What was I going to say? I think we're done.
Cool.
I really enjoyed this. Thank you ever so much.
Good. Thank you for having me, genuinely.
You're more than welcome.
Yeah, it's been great.